despite all he'd said. He seemed calm and confident with what was happening.
"Almost there," she said.
"Good."
He exhaled deeply as if suddenly aware that she was watching.
"Don't like this at all."
They dropped, and soon Lannery leveled them out. Flying above Nox and feeling the ship's responses at being back in an atmosphere again through her hands. The Peacemaker was rattled, but unbroken. It cruised. Lannery skimmed them along the coast of one of the largest continents, flying low enough to avoid basic radar-based scanners, but not too low to be dangerous. And a while later, she edged them inland toward their destination. There was no saying whether Dale and the Stargazers were here yet. Just as when they'd entered Nox's atmosphere, Lannery knew that they were flying blind. The destruction was worse than she could have imagined. Lannery remembered some of the Despot War. She'd been only 13 at the time, but she would never forget watching her parents leaving home, false smiles hiding the fear that they might leave their children as orphans. She had watched the Hollows and heard the reports, but her real knowledge of the war came from what she'd read and seen of it down through the intervening years. At the time it was happening, war was always confused. The truth emerged afterward. She'd learned about the despot Queen Haudia uniting Shikakwa's crime barons under her charismatic rule, and then attempting to exert her influence across the rest of the settled worlds. There had been a surprisingly enthusiastic rallying to her cause, as she promised safety and wealth and a freedom from Jedi interference. Denying the Force, demonizing it to all who followed and listened, her aggression had been brutal but short-lived. The Jedi swore to confront any moves made against them, and also to protect all those who did not wish to be subjugated beneath Haudia's rule. After a period of phony war, during which there were many small skirmishes in space and on some of Calamar's moons, Haudia had taken the war to Tython. Working in secret, she had built a formidable army, well-equipped and heavily armed, and had taken the Jedi somewhat by surprise. The invasion was massive, brutal, and the battles fierce. But the Jedi had the Force on their side, and everything Haudia hated had worked against her. The defining moment of the war had been catastrophic. Following Haudia's death at Kaleth and the defeat of her armies, it had taken a long time to count the true cost of the conflict. 100,000 Tithans dead, 10 times that many of Haudia's forces, and many more seriously injured. Wounds ran deep, and remained so even now, more than a decade later. Before Lannery now was one such wound. She knew about the manufacturing domes on Nox that had been bombed by the Jedi, attacked for providing arms and weapons for Haudia's armies, and she had seen Hollows of the act itself. But Hollows were at a distance. Imagination was limited by experience. Nothing could prepare her for seeing the truth with her own eyes. It was startling to see how effective a Jedi military strike could be, and though Lannery had seen plenty of combat, she had never been involved in a full-scale war. She didn't even know the name of the first ruin they passed. Her Peacemaker flitted quickly by, but the scale of the devastation was still staggering. The city must have been 8 kilometers in width, and now very little of its original protective dome remained. The ruins inside were a charred, melted mess, holding lakes of rancid water and pointing accusatory slivers of wrecked buildings at the sky. It was a relief to pass the destruction and fly across undisturbed ground, even if that landscape was so obviously polluted and poisonous. Very little grew here, and if any creatures were able to live and breathe in the rank air, they did not make themselves known. They passed another dome on their starboard side, several kilometers distant, yet still plainly visible as a scar on the landscape. Every scar tells a story, Lannery thought, and this tale must have been terrible. A portion of the dome remained, shattered and starred by multiple projectile impacts, and detritus from the city was scattered across the surrounding plains. The explosions that had finished this dome must have been immense. She felt sickness welling inside, and a sense of hopelessness enveloped her. The Force offered so much, yet still there was the need for conflict, pain, and death.
1,000 people might be peace-loving and committed to living their lives well, but it took only one to plant a seed of poison that would spread through the population. How many of the Despot Army's million dead would still be alive today were it not for Hadia? Perhaps most of them. Some might harbor dislike of the Jedi or some vaguely unsettled sense of mistrust. Hatred, even. But without someone with Hadia's charisma and determination, such feelings remained inside, unfocused. She had made them manifest, and on her hands was the blood of 1,000,000 victims on both sides.
"Seeing it really brings it home," Tree said.
He sounded so distressed, so genuine, so not like Treesauna. Lannery could almost like him. She turned the peacemaker and tracked Greenwood Station on her scanner. It was a riot of movement, ships lifting and landing, and large ground transports moving around the massive dome. But she was more concerned with traces of ships closer to her. If Greenwood Station had anything like an organized military, or a defense force funded by the great manufacturing conglomerates, they would detect the peacemaker soon. And her arrival had to remain covert. That was essential, because if Dale and his stargazers knew where and when she had arrived, their reaction would be instant. This was a much wilder place than Kalamar, and they had hardly been careful there. 26 kilometers out from Greenwood Station, two small sentry ships rose from the landscape a kilometer ahead and accelerated toward the dome. Lannery reacted instantly, flicking a switch to block their communication systems. She heard a few panicked words.
"Greenwood 4! Greenwood 4! You reading this? Jedi, incoming! Peacemaker class! Must be the one we've been waiting for! We'll lead it in, but I'm not engaging that! No way! We'll leave it to—"
before shutting off the comm link.
"They sound friendly," Tree said.
Lannery ignored him. She stroked a pad on the joystick, and the weapons system fired up, casting a gleaming blue grid across the cockpit window. The two sentry ships were outlined in red, and a series of readings down the left-hand side showed the peacemaker's readiness. Three lines turned quickly from white to green. Targeting, plasma missile, laser cannon, all online.
"Really?"
Tree asked. "I'm not here to start a war," Lannery said. "And you heard